You heard me tell the rest of them. These pictures are not for sale. I paint them for my own amusement. I am a great artist, and I like to see my own work all around me. That's why I will never, never let one single picture go. Now, if you've got any ideas you're going to steal one of my pictures, just get it out of your head. And another thing, that gun of yours doesn't frighten me one bit. It doesn't frighten me one bit.
Why, you... Yes.
Dr. Banfield, student of crime psychology, has many times provided the police with a solution to a baffling crime. There's an interesting case ahead for the doctor today. We'll call it Death Paints a Picture.
Death Valley. They sure named it right, Dan. How can people stand living out in such a lonely place as this?
Oh, usually they have some psychological quirky. Either they've been wronged by someone, or they themselves have wronged someone. They can't stand people, so they bury themselves in loneliness. Practical escapism.
I'd rather lose myself in a crowd.
And there are some people who just love the desert.
Well, it gives me the shivers.
Well, we better start looking for us to put up for the night.
You said it.
Yeah, I see. According to the information given us by the auto club, there should be a place coming up pretty soon. A place called Shoshone Wells Hotel.
Well, we'll probably drive right on past it the way this sand is blowing.
Yes, I don't like it. Automobiles have been covered up with that stuff.
Oh, Dan, don't say things like that.
Well, you can stop worrying, Rusty. There's the hotel.
That awful looking place?
Yeah, we can't be choosy at a time like this. I guess we turn in here, not much sign of a road. Sand's blown over it.
Oh, isn't there some other place, Dan, further on?
Not for 80 or 90 miles, there isn't.
Oh.
Yeah, here we are.
I don't like this place, Dan.
Oh, well, we'll be on our way in the morning. Right now, I'm hungry, and I want to get inside somewhere where I can get this sand out of my eyes. Come on.
Oh, and you don't help either, Mr. Coyote.
Yeah, let's see now. Yes, if there's that doorbell. Oh.
Chimes in a place like this?
Yes, it does seem rather odd, doesn't it?
Well, at least there's somebody here. It isn't closed for the winter.
Oh. Well, good evening. My secretary and I like rooms for the night.
Oh, well, come right in. Come right into my poor establishment.
Why, Dan, he...
Quite right. I'm Dr. Daniel Banfield, and this is my secretary, Miss Fairfax.
A doctor? Well, I'm very fond of doctors. They're always convenient to have in attendance when anyone dies.
In a moment, we'll return to the second act of Danger, Dr. Banfield, but first... Back to Michael Dunn for the second act of Danger, Dr. Banfield.
And my name is Boris Bedloe.
Well, we're very glad to meet you, Mr. Bedloe. Especially with this dust storm blowing up. At least your hotel is a haven indeed.
Yes, 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 dust storms. I'm very fond of dust storms, Doctor. There'll be many dead things in the morning.
Dan... Don't you think we'd better...
Oh, don't be frightened, young lady. Death is a very common occurrence here in Death Valley. That's not a misnomer, you know.
You're cheering me up no end.
If you'd care to join us, dinner is now being served.
Yes, indeed, we would.
Follow me.
Damn, this place is screwy. That Boris Bedloe, that old tobacco-stained beard and that cultured voice, they don't fit.
Well, it is a very strange creature, Rutton.
Here we are, Doctor.
Yeah.
You and Miss Fairfax may sit at the foot of the table. We serve here family style.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bedloe.
And now I would like to make you acquainted with the rest of my guests. Miss Fairfax and Dr. Danfield, Sue Pierce.
How do you do?
Miss Pierce?
Mrs.
Oh.
And her husband, Mr. Harvey Pierce.
Oh, good evening.
Ha! Mr. Pierce is a landscape painter, Doctor. He's here to do death scenes.
Oh? I'm very fond of desert scenes. I'm a great admirer of Remington.
Remington? Bah! A mud dauber. I am the greatest landscape artist who ever lived.
You should see his latest, Dr. Danfield, a picture of a dead cow.
I should have to.
Ugh.
Rusty, are you turning Indian?
And this is Mr. Kenneth Wakefield.
I'm an art connoisseur, Doctor. I came here expressly to buy some of Pearson's paintings. They're really good, you know.
Buy my paintings? Never. They're mine. Mine to admire and enjoy.
Everybody in this place is more than slightly nuts.
Rusty,
and this is Jerry Mead.
Ah, how do you do, Miss Fairfax? I'm delighted to see another of the fair sex in our midst.
Really, you're quite beautiful, you know.
You don't lose any time starting to work, do you, Mr. Mead?
Not me. I believe in cutting all corners.
Yes, and I believe in cutting all comers. That should put you in your place, if you have one, Jerry.
Oh, you know I'm only kidding with her, Sue.
Yes. You'd better be only kidding.
Tell me, what is your business, Mr. Mead?
I'm a prospector. I'm searching for that filthy thing called gold.
You, prospector? I thought all prospectors were old and had whiskers and rode mules.
Well, not all of us, my dear. You see, I studied metallurgy in college, and I've come out here to put some of the new methods to a test.
Struck pay dirt yet?
No, but I'm getting pretty close to it.
Mr. Mead doesn't stop at my establishment or takes his meals here. He has a cabin of his own out back about a quarter of a mile.
Well, I must say you have a very interesting little group here, Mr. Bedlam.
Yes, indeed, Dr. Denfield. And now may I start carving the lamb? It's very fresh. I killed it myself this morning.
Oh, it's you, Mrs. Pierce. I'm sorry I didn't hear you come out. I was out here watching the sand blow.
Dr. Danfield, you've got to take me away from here.
The wind is howling so loud. What did you say?
I said you've got to take me away from here.
Well, now, Mrs. Pierce,
I can't stand it. The desert, the barrenness, the loneliness. That down wind.
Well, why don't you have your husband take...
My husband, I hate him. I hate him.
What if you hate him? Why did you...
You used to be a girl such as I, young, virile, and... Yes, beautiful. You think I could love a doddering old man who's over twice my age, do you? Do you?
Then why did you marry him?
Why did any young girl marry an old man? Money. Position.
Mrs. Pierce, you should have thought about that before you got yourself mixed up in this mess.
Gotta get away. I'll die if I don't. Oh, you will take me with you, won't you, Doctor?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Pierce, but I never interfere where a man and wife are concerned. I'll have to say no.
You've got to keep me. You got to keep me.
No. Mrs. Pierce, please. Now stop it, will you? Oh, I'll see what I can do.
You will? Keep me with
you. I didn't say that. I said I'll...
Get your arms away from Dan, you three-timer.
Rusty, I didn't hear you come out.
If that woman doesn't drag herself out of your arms this instant, nobody will hear her go in.
Now look, Pierce. You've simply got to sell me that painting, The Skeleton of the Cow. I'm at liberty to offer you $20,000.
I told you before, Mr. Wakefield, my paintings are not for sale.
But why? Why? Why, just look at these walls, literally covered with your work.
Yes, look at them. My babies, my creations, every one a masterpiece. And to think I did them all myself. And you ask me to sell them? Bah!
Well, but I'm only asking for one, and $20,000 is a lot of money.
Money? What is money compared to a great art?
Well, money means something to me, even if it doesn't to you. I have a client who wants that picture. If you won't sell it, I stand to lose good profit.
And I won't sell.
That's your last word?
My last word is no.
You stubborn old cuss. You may be nearer to your last word than you think.
And now, Mr. Bedlow, Rusty and I really would like to take a look at Mr. Pierce's painting. That is, if you think he won't mind.
Well, come on, we'll see if the old boy's in.
Right.
It doesn't seem to be. He just went out. Come on, I'll show them to you. Well,
maybe he doesn't care to have us look at them.
Not Pierce. He loves it. He does this quite often.
Does what?
Well, he sneaks out of the room when anybody's looking at his paintings and listens into what they say on the other side of the door.
How odd.
Queer is the word. He's a vain old chap. I should warn you, don't say anything detrimental to his work. Well, come on.
Yes, just look at these paintings. Must be at least 50.
Yes, yes. Pierce is nothing if not prolific.
Well, he's a productive dynamo. I'm sure he lives for nothing but to paint.
Well, no wonder his wife is turning to newer pastures. The old fellow can't have very much time for her. Not into all this, too.
She'd better stay in her own backyard if she knows what's good for her.
Oh, careful, the old chap will hear you.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Bedloe, which is the one you admire so much? The one you were speaking of at dinner.
The dry water hole?
Yes, yes. I believe you called it the dead cow.
Oh, yes, here it is, right over here.
Oh? Ah, what do you know?
Dan, it's horrible. If you ask me, it stinks.
Who said that?
I did, Mr. Pierce.
Not you. You dare to criticize my work? Me, Harvey Pierce?
But I...
the greatest landscape artist alive today? I'll have you know, young lady, that you know nothing of art. Each and every painting on that wall is a master.
Well, I know.
Now get out. Get out. Get out.
Dan, I think we'd better go.
Yes, indeed. Come along, both of you.
Get out. Get out.
That poor old man nearly had apoplexy.
He's positively a neurotic.
Interesting, Dr. Denton. Do people die of neurosis?
Not usually, Mr. Bedloe, but it can be a contributing factor.
Very interesting. Yes. Well, I suppose you'd both like to go to your room?
Yes, I'm rather tired.
I'm just plain sleepy.
Yes, it was always nice to have a good night's sleep. So uncertain, though.
What do you mean?
One never knows whether one will ever wake up again, does one?
Mr. Boris Bedloe, do you want to know something?
What, my dear?
I wish you'd crawl way off somewhere and die.
In a moment, we'll return to the third act of Danger, Dr. Danfield, but first... Now back to Michael Dunn for the third act of Danger, Dr. Danfield.
What the dickens? Oh, I wonder who that is. Where are my shoes?
Dan, what's happening?
Oh, it sounds like Sue Pierce. Come on, she's downstairs.
Who is Sue downstairs at this time in the morning?
I don't know. She's in the room where the paintings are.
Help! Somebody help!
Oh, Mrs. Pierce, what?
Look!
What,
oh, Dan.
What's going on in here?
It's Harvey.
What? Oh, he's dead. I know it. I can tell.
Not only dead, Mr. Bedloe, Mr. Pierce has been murdered. Everybody here, Mr. Bedloe?
Yes, indeed. Everybody that is except Jerry Meade. He lives in the shack out back, you know.
Well, I wouldn't bother sending out for him. I can talk to him in the morning.
Oh, this is terrible, Dr. Danfield. Poor old Pierce.
Yes, Mr. Wakefield. Murder is always terrible. Yeah, it's strangely quiet. Something seems to be missing.
It's the wind. The wind has stopped blowing. It's always quiet when there's no wind.
Yes, that must be it. No wind and no fire. Oh, beg your pardon, my mistake. Now, let's see. Apparently, from the condition of Mr. Pierce's body, he was killed about 2 hours ago by a bullet through his heart. Now, Mrs. Pierce, just how did you happen to discover the body?
I went to bed about 11. Shortly before 3, I woke up and saw that Harvey hadn't come up yet. I thought maybe he'd fallen asleep down here, so I came down to bring him up to bed.
Yes?
And I came in here, the light was up. I lit it.
Yes, that's enough, Mrs. Pierce. We know the rest. Mr. Wakefield, what time did you go to bed?
Oh, I don't know. About 11:30, I guess.
Bedloe, how about you?
Well, right after you and Miss Fairfax went upstairs, about 12 o'clock.
And what time did Jerry Meade leave to go to his cabin?
Well, right after dinner. I let him out the door myself.
Good, good. Now, did any of you wake up, say, around 1 o'clock? Were any of you startled by a sharp sound?
Dan, what are you getting at?
Well, that's about the time Pierce must have been killed.
I want to know if anybody heard the shot.
Well, I hardly believe any of us could have heard the shot in Langfield, not the way the wind was blowing.
Yes, you may be right.
Hey, Dan, one of the pictures is missing.
Hmm? Where?
Right up there, see? Where the wall is faded.
Hmm.
There's a perfect outline of where a painting has been hung.
Yes, so it is. Well, Mr. Bedloe, would you have any idea as to just what painting has been hanging there?
Well, why, George, yes, it's been stolen. That is the picture of the dead cow.
Beautiful morning,
huh,
Archie?
It's hot.
Oh, well, you've got to expect a little heat on the desert, especially in Death Valley, you know.
This is silly, walking around before breakfast.
Well, do you good. Work up an appetite. Good fresh air. Just look at that sand, Rusty. Just like driven snow. Gray, clean, wind-swept carpet. Not a blemish or a mark on it.
Waves of sand.
Yep, and pretty soon a bunch of animals called men will come out and muck it all up again, just like we're doing right now.
Say, let me see Jeremy's cabin way over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks like he has already come over for breakfast.
How can you tell that?
Footprints, silly. See that unbroken line of footprints coming from his cabin?
Oh, sure, I see.
And as there is only one set of footprints, and they're coming this way, none going back, I therefore surmise that Jerry has arrived for breakfast.
Wouldn't take a hawk show to figure that out.
Yeah.
Morning, Dr. Denfield, Miss Fairfax. Outtaking constitution?
Oh, just getting in the mood for some of your ham and eggs.
Got the murder figured out yet?
No, but I'm working on it. Oh, say, would you mind sending Jerry Mead out? I'd like to have a little talk with that boy.
Jerry Mead?
Yes. Come out, please, will you?
Well, I'm afraid I can't send him out. Jerry hasn't come over from his cabin as yet.
Is it?
It's me, Jerry, Dr. Danfield. Can I come in?
Sure, walk right in. Door isn't locked.
Well, you're rather a late riser, huh, Jerry?
Yeah, I've taken the day off today. Thought I'd sleep in. Well, why don't you bring your little honey with you?
Rusty? We'll leave Rusty out of this, if you don't mind.
Okay, I don't mind. Well, what'd you come over for? Certainly not to see if I wash behind my ears.
No, Jerry. I'm investigating a supernatural phenomenon.
Ghost?
No, I don't think so, Jerry. I'm just wondering how a man could walk over to the hotel from this cabin in the dead of night, leaving a perfectly clear trail of footprints, kill a man, and then get back to this cabin without leaving a mark.
Well, who did that?
I was hoping that it might be you.
Me?
Yes.
Say, what is this? Hey, wait a minute. Did you say somebody was killed?
I did.
Who?
Old Harvey Pierce.
Harvey? Oh, that's wonderful. Now Sue can get out of the desert.
Mind if I take a look around your cabin, Jerry?
Well, what for?
Well, there's a gun missing. Also, one of Pierce's paintings.
One of the old boy's paintings? Well, you couldn't get one of those things inside this cabin, let alone hide it.
Yes, I guess you're right. Unless the canvas was cut out of the frame and rolled up.
Oh, I wish I could think of things like that. Come on, Danfield, I'll help you look.
Looking for now, Dan?
The missing gun, Rusty. Oh, be careful how you pull out those drawers. Old Borax will hear you and come a-running.
You think Borax did it?
No, but I'm not passing up any chances. What I can't figure out is what happened to that picture. We've looked everywhere. Simply can't hide anything that big in a place like this.
Maybe they cut it out of the frame, like you said.
Well, then what happened to the frame?
Well, maybe they burned it.
Where are the ashes? We've looked everywhere.
Maybe they buried him in the sand.
I couldn't do it, Rusty. Not if the murder was committed like I think it was. After the wind had gone down, there would be a big mark on the sand where they buried it. And a set of footprints to and from the place.
Dan, are we dumb?
Huh? What brought on that remark?
You have been looking in all these dresser drawers for a gun.
Yes?
And here's one lying right on top of the dresser. Right back here by the mirror.
Well, what do you know? Well, a murderer is a far cleverer man than I imagined.
What makes you say that?
Well, if this is the murder weapon he is... He hid it by not hiding it at all. No one ever looks where you don't have to look, you know. Let's see now. Yes, it's been cleaned recently.
What does that prove?
Only that it's probably been used recently.
Oh.
Two empty shelves. Very careless of him.
Yes, I should think he would have replaced them.
Well, most likely this wasn't his gun. It's an old type 44. Shells of this type are hard to obtain. If it was his own gun, he would have had some.
Wait a minute, Ann. Two empty shells.
Hmm?
There was only one wound in Mr. Pierce's body.
Yes. Yes, and that clears up a lot of things, Rusty, I think. That and the smart way our friend had of hiding things. Come on, Rusty, let's get this mob all together in Mr. Pierce's studio. As we say in geometry, QED. This case is solved.
Well, they're all here, Danfield.
Oh, thanks, Bedlow.
Well, come on, Danfield, out with it. I want to see what kind of a case you've dreamed up about me so I can get in touch with my lawyer.
You tried to buy the picture, didn't you, Wakefield?
Well, of course I did, but I didn't steal it.
I'm rather inclined to believe you. You hated your husband, didn't you, Mrs. Pierce?
I did. There's no use denying it. I told you myself.
Enough to kill him?
I don't know. Maybe I would have if somebody else hadn't saved me the trouble.
I see. Borax, how about you?
Well, surely, Dr. Danfield, you don't think I did it. What possible reason would I have to kill a paying customer?
Well, you're almost a psychopathic case, Mr. Bedlow. You have an obsession about death. You better watch yourself that you don't someday cross over the borderline and actually commit one of the crimes you're always dreaming about.
Well, I... Yes, maybe you're right.
Hmm. Now, you, Rusty.
Me? Well, Sam, I didn't do it.
No, I'm certain about you, Rusty. I just want to ask you a question.
Oh, don't scare me like that.
If you were going to hide a needle, Rusty, where would you hide it?
Oh, that's easy. In a haystack.
Yes, yes, but everybody hasn't got a haystack. Where next?
Why, in with another bunch of needles, I guess.
Right. Now, Jerry, where would you hide a picture if you wanted to hide one?
But I don't want to hide a picture.
Well, that doesn't answer my question.
I know. With a bunch of other pictures.
Right again, Rusty. So, let's take a look around, shall we?
There's about 50 pictures in this very room.
Well, I see it. I see it. The dead cow.
Yes, isn't it? Right over here on the opposite side of the room.
Well, then it wasn't stolen at all.
Oh, yes, it was, Jerry.
You stole it just as surely as if you had taken it to your own cabin. And just as surely as you murdered the man who painted it.
Why, you're crazy. I wasn't even over here last night. The facts in the sand proved that.
The facts in the sand proved that you were over here. The only thing they don't prove is that you went back to your cabin.
Well, if you're so brilliant, then, how did I get back?
We'll get to that later. Right now, I want to look behind this picture.
Why, then?
Well, I think we'll find a bullet hole. The hole from the bullet that we didn't find in Mr. Pierce. There, you see, Jerry? I'll bet that hole was made by a .44.
But it wasn't my gun!
Oh, Jerry. Up to a point, you were so clever. Now you have to go and spoil it all.
Uh-huh. And how did you come to that conclusion?
By proclaiming the fact that it wasn't your gun, you admitted that you know whose gun it was.
Well,
nobody but the murderer would know that, Jerry. Mr. Bedlow, would you mind calling the sheriff?
In a moment, we'll return for the conclusion of Danger, Dr. Danfield, but first... Return to Michael Dunn for the conclusion of Danger, Dr. Banfield.
You know, Dan, you're the luckiest guy.
Huh? What do you mean, lucky?
Why, if that Jerry hadn't made that crack about the gun, you never would have found out.
Oh, you think so, Rusty?
Of course. Now, why don't you admit it?
Are you forgetting the footprints, Rusty? The single track pointing right from Jerry's cabin of the hotel?
What about those footprints?
Well, Rusty, here's what happened. Jerry came over to either buy or steal that painting. He heard Wakefield offer $20,000 for it, and he thought he had a chance to find gold quick without having to dig for it.
Well, what's that got to do with the footprints?
Well, the sand was blowing around like all get-out when Jerry came over, and he counted on it covering up all his tracks. But all of a sudden, the wind stopped blowing. You can imagine the quandary our boyfriend was in. He committed a murder, and in the morning, there would be a perfect trail, a one-way trail straight to his cabin, pointing him out like the finger of doom.
Oh, my gosh, what did he do?
He went back to his cabin.
Well, I know, but his footprints were pointing the other way.
Of course, that's why he walked backwards.
Backwards?
Yes. What he didn't realize was that anyone walking backwards always puts the weight on the ball of the foot instead of on the heel, as they do when walking naturally. It showed up in that nice, clean sand like a kid's drawing of a mustache on his best girl's picture.
Oh, Dan. I hate those
clowns. Oh, well, come closer and I'll protect you.
Dan.
Oh, yes, sir?
Do you suppose we could make that darn thing howl again?
You know, Rusty, I'd like to know the value of an original Edgar Allan Poe manuscript and what the chances are of one being discovered that hadn't been accounted for previously.
Oh, I don't see how you can... Dan, someone's behind that pile of boxes.
Yes, we better... Hey, who turned off those lights?
Dan, the pile of boxes is moving!
Look out, Rusty, they're coming over!
Dr. Daniel Danfield, student of crime psychology, has many times provided police with a solution to a baffling case. And at times, too, the alert Dr. Danfield has found that his pet theories on the workings of the criminal mind must be subject to change without notice. There's another interesting case ahead for the doctor today. Let's see how he handles it. Our story opens in an antique shop located in an old part of the city. It is early morning.
Good morning, Mr. Exeter.
Eh? Who the devil are you? What are you doing here?
Why, I'm Maurice, Mr. Exeter. Don't you remember? You hired me 3 months ago.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. Yes. Yeah, you look like a capable fellow, Maurice. By the way, where's that woman?
Miss Novins? Why, she's in your private office, Mr. Exeter. She went looking for Mr. Furbush.
And those two, what are they doing in my private office? I told that old fuddy-duddy Furbush to keep out of there. Furbush, how many times have I... What are you doing there? What are you doing there, I say? Answer me. Speak up, man. Give me those... How dare you? Put down that... Maurice! Maurice!
Well, if it came from in here, we'll soon find out. Good gosh. Look, it's Furbush and Exeter. Mr. Exeter. Mr. Exeter. Marie!
Yes, Miss Novins. I'm right here.
Oh, good heavens, you scared me.
Is something wrong, Miss Novins?
Oh, no, not a thing. Except that Exeter's fainted and Albert Furbush is dead.
Dead, Miss Novins?
I'll say he's dead. Take a look. That death spindle sticking right through his heart. Maurice, I think we'd better call a doctor. And maybe the police.
Oh, answer that, will you, Rusty?
Of course. Dr. Danfield's office. Oh, yes, Captain Otis. Yes, he's here. It's for you, Dan, Captain Otis.
Oh, thank you.
Now, don't forget that you promised to take me to dinner in the theater tonight.
How could I forget? Hello, Captain Otis. Yes, yes, of course. I see. Accidental death, you say?
Dan, you're not going
to... Be quiet, Rusty. What was that, Captain? Death was instantaneous, huh? I see. Well, yes, yes, of course. Yes, I think it would give me an excellent opportunity to study an unusual type of criminal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, that's a good idea, Captain. There'd be considerable advantage to it. Tell you what, I'll drop over to your office first, and then you can call the ledger and make the necessary arrangements. Fine. We'll be over in about 20 minutes. Goodbye, Captain. Pick up your notebook, Rusty. We're going down to headquarters.
That's about all I know, Dan. Oh. Fur Bush was apparently leaning over the desk and fell forward.
Well, it is rather an unusual accident, Chester. I suppose it could have happened that way.
Yeah. Well, there's this spindle that penetrated his heart.
Oh, ugly-looking thing. Fingerprints?
None. We've already checked.
It still looks like an accident to me.
It did to me, too, Rusty, until I heard about the missing manuscripts.
Oh, can you give me any additional background on that, Captain?
Only what Miss Novins, Exeter's secretary, told me. According to her, Exeter has always been a great admirer of Edgar Allan Poe's works. Sort of a crackpot on the subject.
Mild manifestation of mania, that sort, is common among normal people, Captain. It doesn't necessarily mean that Exeter is mentally deranged.
You can tell more about that when you meet him, Dan. But anyway, he recently came across what he believes to be an original Poe manuscript worth a great deal of money. It disappeared at the same time of the so-called accident.
Captain Otis, you said that Mr. Exeter is a rather absent-minded type of person.
Yes, extremely so.
Oh? Well, isn't it possible that he might have misplaced the manuscript?
Well, that's what his secretary seems to think, but I'm not convinced.
What is the secretary like? Young and beautiful?
Oh, not particularly. She's an ex-newspaper woman.
You know, Captain, I think there's more to this than appears on the surface.
Well, even if there isn't, I can see that you won't be satisfied until you've had a fling at it.
All right, Rusty. So, put on your best sob, Sister Act, and we'll pay Mr. Exeter a visit.
Keep in touch with me, will you, Dan?
Right, Captain. Come on, Rusty.
In a moment, we return for the second act of Danger, Dr. Danfield, but first... And now back to Michael Dunn for the second act of Danger, Dr. Danfield.
Well, this is the place here, Rusty. Let's go in and get acquainted with Mr. Exeter.
There he is, sitting at the desk. He must be deaf. He didn't even look up.
Maybe he just doesn't care. Good evening. Are you Mr. Exeter?
Hey. What was that, young man?
I said, are you Mr. Exeter?
Exeter? Yes, come to think that I am.
Aren't you sure?